Open your Bibles to John chapter 15, verse 27. We just prayed with Mark that our study of Acts will help us in serving Christ. In Mark chapter 15 and verse 27, we enter in on a discussion that Jesus Christ is having with his apostles the night of his betrayal. And he says this, "You will testify or bear witness also." Note verse 26. The Holy Spirit will testify or bear witness. So you've got the Holy Spirit bearing witness and the apostles bearing witness. To what? That's right. The gospel of Christ. Who Christ is. That he came to suffer and die. Look at. Somebody ask you. To what? Turn to Luke 24. You can write that right there in your margin there in John 15. Look at Luke 24. Start in verse 46. So in our prayer with Mark, we talked about serving Christ better. Here in verse 46, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. That's the very kernel of our faith, is it not? But then, he said, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. So first, there are the historic events that is the very kernel of our faith. How many of you have seen Christ with your eyes? No one. How do you know he died and was raised? You haven't seen him. How can you know? Eyewitnesses. That's what we were reading about. Eyewitnesses. But the fact that Christ died and was raised again, was he the only person in the Bible to die and be raised again? No. So the next statement, though, is that repentance and forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name. Can anybody see that? Can you? No, you can't see that. That's not something you can see. So, Luke wrote this, and this was Christ talking to a certain group of men, the apostles, but is it true? And so, he said, verse 48, you are what? Witnesses of what? These things. So, as Elizabeth said, the gospel of Christ, who he is, why he came, that he was victorious, and that because of that, repentance and forgiveness of sins is in his name. So the night of his betrayal, he's telling his apostles, the Holy Spirit's going to bear witness, and you are going to bear witness. Okay, so here in Luke 24, this is right before he ascended. Now, where would I go to follow up this story? Acts 1. So go to Acts 1. Verse 1, the first account I composed, Theophilus. So Luke was addressed to Theophilus. This letter is addressed to Theophilus. The first account is the Gospel of Luke. And that's very clear as you keep reading here. About all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven, that's the ascension, and that's right there in Luke 24. But then he backs up a step after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. So back here in Luke chapter 24, he says, you're going to be witnesses of these things. And then he said, verse 49, You are to stay in the city. What city?
Jerusalem.
Until what? You're clothed with power. To do what? To be witnesses. So go to Jerusalem and wait. You're going to get the power to do what I'm charging you to do. So here's Acts 1. After he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. Then he goes on to point out that he appeared to these men for 40 days, presenting undeniable proofs that he was raised from the dead. And then he's gathering them together now, verse 4, and continuing instructions about this promise that was made to them. So he said, verse 4, wait for what the Father had promised, which he said you heard from me. Where did Jesus ever talk about baptism in the Holy Spirit in the Gospels? Where did he ever mention it? Did he ever? No. But he talked about it. He said he talked to them about it. So that makes it important that we understand what baptism in the Holy Spirit is. We'll talk some more about that in our lesson today. And so he said, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit when? Not many days from now. Okay? So Jesus died at Passover, right? And so and in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, we read about the day of Pentecost. So how much time between Jesus died and Acts chapter 2, verse 1?
50 days.
That's right. Because Pentecost means what? That's on your lesson. We're looking at that very question today.
50th.
Now, you're not going to find that term in your Bible. It's a name that became known in the Greek language after Alexander conquered Greece and that area. And then the word Palestine, Pentecost was used. But that's 50th. So 50 days after a Sabbath in the Passover, weekly Sabbath. All right, so if there's 50 days between the Passover and he spent 40 days of that talking to the apostles about their mission. And then we read about Pentecost. So how many days, it says, not many days from now, how many days between his ascension and the day of Pentecost? About 10 days. All right. So John 15:27, you'll bear witness. Now the time has arrived, Acts chapter 2. And they're going to bear witness. The Holy Spirit's going to bear witness. And what we'll find is the Holy Spirit will bear witness through these men and their work. Note again in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, carrying over from Luke 24, he said, you'll receive power. That's what he said, Luke 24. You'll receive power. When will you receive power? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. To do what? To live a righteous life? To do what? To be witnesses. The Holy Spirit's going to give them the power to witness. And so, I don't need power to say I saw Jesus arise from the dead. But if I've got to explain to people what that means, and then prove that it's true, I'm going to need some power that I don't have. And that's what the Holy Spirit would do. Jesus told these men in that same discussion, he's going to guide you into all the truth that is, that would glorify him. So, you'll receive power, and you'll be my witnesses. And here we have the outline of the book of Acts in verse 8. First in Jerusalem, first seven chapters, then Judea and Samaria, 8 through 12, and the remotest part of the earth, 13 through 28. There's our outline. Okay. So, the book of Acts serves to confirm the gospel. We talked about the relationship of the book of Acts to the gospel. That was one of the points that we made. And it certainly then can be a faith builder. All right, now, when he wrote the book of Acts, He started at Pentecost, 50 days after Christ died. When he ended the book of Acts, Paul was in a Roman prison. How many years between Acts 1 and Acts 28? About 30 years, because Acts 28 is somewhere around 62-63 A.D. So here you have the first 33 years of early church history in this book. And thus a very important volume for those who are interested in Christ and His work. Okay? And so this is a pretty easy one in view of what we've been talking about. What is the design of the book of Acts?
Show the work of the apostles
carrying out their ministry. Now that involved conversions. Sometimes people say, well, purpose was to present conversions. They did that, but there's much more to their ministry than that. Their work was to confirm that message, bear witness, and then prove that witness to be true. All right, at the top of chapter 2, verse 1, we have our drill questions that we've talked about. Chapter 1 and 3 points. What are the 3 points in chapter 1? 3 divisions. What's the first one?
Promise
of the Holy Spirit to the apostles. What's the second one? The ascension. And what's the third one? Choosing of Matthias. That's just 3 divisions in chapter 1. Easy way to remember chapter 1. Okay, we've answered who Theophilus is, to whom the letter was written. If you have the extended lessons, you'll see number 4 located on a blank map, these 8 places. We'll do that in the extended class. We had a good number out for the extended class last Sunday evening. If you'd like to join us, you're certainly welcome, where we have the time and opportunity to extend our study to areas that we don't have the time to do so in this class. All right, so number 6, what qualification of apostle is referred to in Acts 1:22, last part of the verse? What is it? Witness of the resurrection. That's right. And I think on your review questions, which some of you have got the entire set, at the end I said, what are the 3 qualifications? Mark 3 out, mark that 2, because the other one is that they had to be chosen by Christ. All right, we talked about whether 2 or 3 qualifications in our extended class on Sunday evening. Okay, and we've already answered number 7 and number 8 on those real questions. We finished our study last time with question number 2, looking at the markings here in chapter 2. So let's see. All right, so we went through and started marking the pronouns of the apostles. And so we talked about those briefly. Note verse 4, they. So the they is that refers to the apostles whom he had chosen back from chapter 1, if you've been doing the marking. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues.
Is that not they in verse 1?
What?
The they in verse 1. Is that they?
I got it marked up there. Verse 1. Right up at the top. Oh, I got it in verse 2. Oh. I tell you. Yes. It's in verse 1 in my Bible. Mark. Thank you, Elizabeth. I put the verse 3 in. But, okay. I'll add that one too. Thank you. All right. So, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together. That's good observation. You can tell Elizabeth's attentive to the text. That's great. All right, so they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. What's the importance of that? Began to speak with the other tongue. So what?
Shows who received it.
Right, and who could speak in tongues?
Those
in religion today. We'll study this at the end of the lesson. In fact, it's actually on lesson part 2, chapter 2. Many religions teach that all Christians can speak in tongues in Acts 2, one of the chapters. And they make the people on that occasion, either the 120 or the other thousands that were gathered there. That's why it's so important to mark these pronouns and see if you can identify who the pronoun refers to. All right, now here's another thing you'll note. Whoever was filled with the Holy Spirit was the ones doing the speaking, obviously in tongues, but we're going to see more of the speaking they were doing. The other people were asking questions. The speaking that these who were filled with the Holy Spirit did was that they were declaring look down at the bottom of the chart, they were declaring the mighty deeds of God. And it's Peter and the 11 that stood up to preach to them. And it's Peter and the apostles, they asked the question, what shall we do? So that's the ones who were speaking the information they needed to know about the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, so on this particular slide, I've got the markings for the tongues, which is actually the lesson 2 on chapter 2, which we'll look at in a moment. But you might want to mark that. That's very important. You'll see here in verse 4, tongues. And then you have in verse 6, language, tongue. Why is that valuable to mark that? What? That's right. They're used interchangeably. So tongues is not talking about the tongue in your mouth. It's used for languages. And it's not an angelic language. It's their own languages, as you can see. The ones to which they were born, native languages. That's what it's talking about. So that's very helpful. You can do that right there in your own Bible. It's very easy. So here we have Peter with the 11. They're the ones that stood up, began preaching. Now note what he says here. We who? These guys right here. Again, not talking about what people talk about today, Christians bearing witness. We are witnesses. God raised him up. Now, we notice one of your markings here is to mark the resurrection. That's what he's talking about. God raised him up again. The resurrection of Christ. This Jesus, God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Not witnessing how we were saved and what happened to our changed life. No. Witnessing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what they're witnessing. Yes. What's the matter? Where?
Peter with the 11 in verse 14.
Okay. You're right. Okay. Thank you. Got the wrong verse. You got to watch teachers. See, they'll tell you the wrong thing. All right. Verse 14. Thank you. All right. And look here in verse 40. Peter, and then it says he did what? What's another word for testify? Bore witness. You see. Okay. Now, they were devoting themselves to whose teaching? Note, we suggested you not only mark the nouns and pronouns that refer to the apostle, but what they were doing. So here's the apostles' teaching, words connected with them. And so, if there were 120 that got the same thing, why didn't all of them? Weren't they all equipped to provide doctrinal instruction? But that's not the case. It's the apostles' teaching. They're the ones speaking the message that they needed to know as to how to serve this master that they've come to believe in. And then, many wonders and signs were taking place through who? The apostles. And so, once again, you see it's the apostles. They're the ones working miracles. And we'll do this all the way through chapter 5, if the Lord is willing. And you'll see all the way through chapter 5, the only people working miracles are the apostles. Chapter 6, it changes, and we'll see why. All right. So, we'll talk about this in another lesson, but if you've marked that, that's on your lesson. The Joel prophecy, that'll be very useful to us. And okay. Now then, question three. We've already answered the word, what Pentecost means, 50th. There's other titles or names given to it in the Old Testament. Pentecost doesn't occur in the Old Testament. But it was called the Feast of Weeks. Remember, 7 weeks. You count from that Sabbath, 7 weeks, Feast of Weeks. First fruits of the wheat harvest had to do with their crops. And the Feast of the Harvest is the first fruits of your labors and the Day of First Fruits. And so if you're interested in those verses that do that, come to the extended class and we'll give you those verses. Okay. And we'll also look at Leviticus 23, where the weekly Sabbath is mentioned, and then 50 days later. All right. Question number four. Everybody's question four, say baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay. The following will be found in chapter 1, along with the answer. Write the verse from the chapter 1 where the answer is found. All right. Now, before we talk about baptism in the Holy Spirit, what does the word baptized mean? Immersed. So when you're baptized in water here, what happens? Somebody dips you in water, right? How in the world can you dip somebody in a person? What does that tell you about the word baptized in the Holy Spirit?
Figurative.
It's for a concept, some idea, baptized in the Holy Spirit. So in a previous class, we talked about Isaiah 21. Go back there to Isaiah 21 and look at verse 4. Now, the book of Isaiah was originally written in what language? Pakistanian? Be Hebrew, right? So, in about 150 to 250 B.C., some Jewish men translated the Old Testament into Greek. What's that translation called? Septuagint. The 70. It's the idea of Septuagint. So they had to translate this into the Greek language. The New Testament was written in Greek. And when they got to verse 4, Haro overwhelms me. Do you remember? We talked about this in a previous class if you were here. What Greek word they used? Baptize. So it's like you've been baptized in horror. Not literally. It overwhelms you. It's the idea. And so you can see that the term baptized was used sometimes in a figurative sense. So in Acts 1:8, he said when they received the Holy Spirit, they would receive what? Power. Now, to be able to speak in another language, like these men were doing that they had not studied, there are 15 different localities mentioned here in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 9 and 10 and 11, 15 different places. These men were Galileans. They had not only that language, but that dialect. But the people are amazed that they can speak all of these languages or dialects. To be able to do that, what will you need besides 15 years of schooling to do it like that? Power. Power given to you to do it. Well, according to verse 4, where'd they get the power? Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And filled with, again, it's another figurative language. The Holy Spirit's not a liquid. He wasn't poured through their ears into their body. Now, so that phrase is used, and it's not equivalent of baptism, and we'll talk about that. But it's not the equivalent of baptism, but it is a phrase that was here used to talk about the Holy Spirit giving them power to do something, in this case, to speak in other languages. But, there were Christians you read about in the New Testament that could speak in other languages. But what if you could not only speak in other languages, but you could heal, and you could raise the dead, and you could interpret tongues, and you could prophesy, and you could do all of the miracles? You'd not just have some power. You would be overwhelmed in power. But wait, what if that power, they were speaking the mighty deeds of God, it says. What if that power enabled them to tell people every single thing Jesus had taught them and every other thing that needed to be revealed? Now that would really be some power, wouldn't it? Isn't that what they were promised in John 16:13? John 14:26. But wait, there's more. What if you had the power to transfer some of that to somebody else by laying your hands on them? They had that power. In fact, what if the power you were given was so powerful that it would indicate, it would be a sign that you're an apostle? Now, when you take all of that together, when you talk about these people receiving power, how much? Did they get a sprinkling? Or were they immersed in power? Baptized in the Holy Spirit. So, we got some questions here on 4A. Who was promised the baptism of the Holy Spirit? How do you know it was the apostles?
Christ directed that directly to them,
that belonged. Okay, show it to me in your Bible. Where would you go?
Verses 2, 5, and 8.
What? Verses 2, 5, and 8 of Acts 1. It's right there. We just looked at it. Tracing those pronouns. It's right there in the chapter. You don't have to wonder about it. All right? Where were they to wait for it? Jerusalem. Not United States? No, Jerusalem. Okay, when were they to receive it? And the many days is about how many days? 10 days. Somewhere in that neighborhood. So not 2,000 years. Not many days from now. And why were they to receive it? That's what we've been talking about, the power to be witnesses. All right, so we get all of that. We can do all of that through chapter 1 and then going back to where he made the promise in John 13:14-16, and also reading Luke's statement about it in Luke 24. Put all that together and we can answer those questions. You don't have to have a commentary. You don't have to depend on a preacher. You can have it right there before you in a Bible to talk to people, to reestablish your faith, to be sure you're on the right track. All right. What action in chapter 2 reflected this promise being fulfilled? Speaking in tongues. Now, filled with the Holy Spirit in verse 4 is not the equivalent of baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the reason you know that, when Jesus spoke to them, he said, you're going to receive baptism in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. But look over at Luke chapter 1. And we're going to read about the birth of John the Baptist. How many years previous was that? About 30 years. And look at Luke 1:15. It says, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. Wait, Jesus said, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. But John was already filled with the Holy Spirit 30 years earlier. They're not the same thing. You see? They're not equivalents. You can't, when you see filled with the Holy Spirit, assume baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's a widespread error in religion today. Look at verse 41 of Luke. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the babe leaped in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She cried out with a loud voice and said, the Holy Spirit gave her power to say what she said. Look down at verse 67. His father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. He was given power to prophesy. But he wasn't baptized with power. The baptism of the Holy Spirit had not yet taken place. So when you see filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not the equivalent. So look over at Acts chapter 4 and verse 8. If Acts 2 and verse 4 means baptized with the Holy Spirit, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And you'll hear gospel preachers say that, by the way. But it does not. But if you look at Acts chapter 4 and look at verse 8, if filled with the Holy Spirit means baptism with the Holy Spirit, what happened to Peter? He baptized again. He filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, look again in verse 31. When they prayed, the place where they gathered was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Were they baptized with the Holy Spirit three times? No. Filled with was an indication of. Doesn't necessarily mean baptism, because we see that John the Baptist, Elizabeth, Zacharias were filled with the Holy Spirit and able to do some things. And you're going to read about early Christians able to speak in tongues. Another Christian could work healings. Another Christian could interpret tongues, various gifts of the Holy Spirit. But baptism of the Holy Spirit was for the apostles. Okay. Now, because a person can speak in tongues, now people think they can, they cannot. They speak some unintelligible gibberish that they're told by their preachers to speak it in tongues. But let's suppose they could. Does that mean that they're saved and that they're God's minister for His work and that they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Look over at Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. And verse 28. The Lord opened the mouth of the donkey and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you?" Is that donkey language? What is the donkey doing? He's speaking in tongues. He's speaking in a language he normally could not speak. Was he baptized in the Holy Spirit? Not hardly. Was he saved? No. All right. Look at, I'll just mention it, the Corinthians. You know the Corinthians could speak in tongues, some of them. But you also know Paul indicted them for being carnal, for not growing in Christ, for being immature, and certainly didn't evidence that they were living the kind of life they ought to live or that they were baptized in the Spirit. So just when you see these little phrases like that, idioms of their language, if 2,000 years from now somebody starts reading your language and they see, you know, John says, "I told Bradley to go pick up his room." 2,000 years, somebody says, "I'd like to know what John was giving that kid so that he had the strength to pick up his room." It's an idiom of our language. And so the same is true with studying this language, their idioms. And we need to be aware of that. All right. The second thing, besides the speaking in tongues, is what action recorded or reflected this promise being fulfilled. So we have here point number two. The apostles were preaching truth that glorified Jesus. Hold your finger just a moment. Where would I go back to see about a promise that would enable them to do that when they were baptized with the Spirit? Matthew 2. Mark 6. John. John 13, 14, 15, 16. So look over to chapter 16. So verse 13, he said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all the truth. Back up in verse 8, when he comes, he's going to convict the world. Convict means to prove wrong. The world denied Jesus and who he was. But he said he's going to guide you into all the truth. Now look at verse 14. He will glorify me. He'll guide them into the truth that glorifies Jesus. And that's exactly what they did. All right, so they were preaching the truth that glorified Jesus, including the things they did not at this time understand. Look at Acts chapter 2:39. What is there that Peter preached that he didn't understand?
He didn't understand that the Gentiles would be accepted.
That's right, that the Gentiles were included in the gospel plan of redemption. But yet, that's what he preached, and he didn't know it. When he said the promise, this is the promise of salvation in Christ, is for you and your children, all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And we know from Ephesians chapter 2 that that included the Gentiles. Okay. So again, here's power to do exactly what Jesus told them. And then the third thing is the apostles, verse 43, we had it up on the chart a while ago, working miracles. Now, these are indicators. Let's suppose I don't have the indicators. I still know they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Here's why. Jesus made the promise, and Jesus keeps his promise. But here in chapter 2, Luke has recorded some indicators that reflect the fulfillment of that promise. All right, we already answered number C, who was performing this action? Of course, the apostles. Where did it take place? In Jerusalem. And then we've already answered question E, how long afterward did it these events take place? About 10 days. Okay. In our introductory lesson, we listed five valuable benefits of understanding the relationship of Acts to the rest of the New Testament. To which of these does this point apply?
Divine commentary.
What?
Divine commentary on the promise of
what? Okay, yeah. Promise mission of the Holy Spirit. Very good. So it expands on what the promise of the Holy Spirit was and what was his mission. And so Acts is a sequel to the gospel and very valuable in that regard. All right, let's move on to chapter 2. Lesson 2. All right, so here we are in chapter 2, and so the first part, we talked about this. What's the first part of chapter 2?
They received the promise.
Apostles received the promise, or the apostles spoke in tongues, that's right. And so, then what's the second part of chapter 2? Peter's sermon, that's right. That's right, you made me feel good, Elizabeth. Peter's sermon, that's right. And then the last part of chapter 2, first converts. So there's your three divisions of chapter 2. And so as you go through Acts, if you kind of have those in mind and you're looking for something, you say, oh yeah, I know what chapter that's in. So that's what we were doing. Okay. So we looked at the chart a while ago. So here, that answers this question. A, what does the word tongues mean in this context?
Languages.
And you saw that. It was used interchangeably with the word languages. And so as you look here in your Bible, verse 4, they spoke with other tongues. Verse 11 says, we hear them in our own tongue. But verse 6 and verse 8 use the word language. And you can compare all the versions. Verse 8, I think the King James still uses the word tongue. But your other versions, New King James, American Standard, ESV, they use the word language. So here again, you don't have to have a Greek lexicon. You say, well, look, here this verse before, this verse after, and right in the middle, it tells you exactly what they're talking about. What kind of language? Angelic language? If somebody said, well, no, that's angelic languages. What's your response based on the text?
To which they were born.
What?
The language to which they were born.
In which they were born. That's right. And that's what you see that right there in verse 8. In verse 6, their own language. And then you have 15 different areas that identify either the language or the dialect. So not some angelic gibberish. That's the languages that's in view. All right. So that answers our next question here. Number two. Number one, what are the words that he used? That's the word language. And then number two there, 2b 2:8-11. How did the people who were present describe what they heard? Elizabeth just told us. It's the language to which they were born, or their own language. The ESV says native language. I think that's in verse 11. Is that right, Mark? Verse 11, the ESV says native language.
Yeah.
Native language. Now, while that may not be an exact translation, it's an interpretation, but it is on the right course. There's no word for native, but you have here in verse 11, in our tongues. So that's why they use native, wherein we were born. That people understand native language. And so it's good to compare versions. All right. Now in our extended class, we will talk about some other verses in the Bible, other places in the Bible where the word tongues is used the same way. It's not the only place where the word tongue is used of human languages, different nations, different peoples' languages. So Lord willing, we'll look at that in our extended class. Okay, and so if you've got the extended lessons, there's a part C. We're not going to talk about that in this class. We'll talk about that in the extended class. And real quick, we're about out of time, but let's do D. That's C if you have the auditorium lessons. Were the apostles miraculously enabled to speak in different languages of the people gathered there or on that day, or were they speaking in one language and the hearers miraculously enabled to understand them? Which is it? They were speaking in different languages. And we ask you to give evidence for that from the text. You look at verse 4. The speakers were the ones that received the power, not the hearers. The miraculous power was not bestowed on the hearers so they could hear different languages, but on the speakers so they could speak different languages. The same thing in verse 6. They were hearing them speak in their own language. And then in verse 11, same thing. So they were speaking in different languages. That's the ones from whom the power came. So that's verse 3 and 4. So it's very clear it's the speakers who received the power to speak in these languages. Okay. If you have the extended class lessons, there's an E. We'll talk about that, the Lord willing, in our extended class. So we're going to stop there. That'll get us to our Pentecostalism part of this lesson. And if the Lord is willing, Sunday, we'll start right there on Number three.